As we prepare our hearts and minds for the message today, would you bow with me in a word of quietness? Amen. I absolutely believe that we are called from and we are called to. We are called from life so that we can be called to a deeper life. I believe that we are called from love so that we can be called to a deeper love. Today, what I believe is that we are called from a place in our lives where we have gifts and called to a place in our lives where we can give those gifts away. I was raised in North Dakota in a pastor's house. And when you are 4 and 5 and 6 years old as a boy in North Dakota, oh my gosh, what this means is snow. And we would just love going out. I was the oldest of three brothers, and eventually came my sister. And as those three brothers got old enough to play, Mom would bundle us up on those cold winter days, snow up to our eyeballs, and she would shoo us out the door. Now here's how it works when you are 4 and 5 and 6 in North Dakota. You go out and you play as long as you possibly can because it takes forever to get you dressed. All those layers of mittens and scarves and hats and coats and pants and boots. And the last thing that you want to do is to come in. And so what happens as you are out there is that you begin to notice that your fingers hurt. Begins in your fingertips. And then it moves down, and then your whole finger hurts, and then your hands begin to hurt, and so you clench your hands together, but you just keep playing until the point comes where you pretty much can't feel your hands anymore, and then you can play even better. But the time comes when the cold soaks into your bone, and you need to go inside. So here was the ritual. We would go in and the back door would slam and my mother would meet us and she would start unwrapping scarves, hats, mittens, coats, three boys all at one time. This takes time. Do you remember what this feels like? Those of you who have experienced this, it's about the time that you're halfway through getting all of your winter clothes off, those cold, wet, frozen clothes, that your hands begin to warm up. The blood is flowing back into your hands, and that means pain. Oh my gosh, it hurts so much to have that blood come back into your hands. And so my mom would get us undressed as much as she could, and then she would be kneeling down in front of us. And as we were complaining about our hands hurting so much, my mother would say, "Come on," and she would raise her arms, and one or two boys would stand in front of her, and one boy would go and stand in back of her, and she would say, "Okay, now." And she would lower her arms, and she would enfold us in the warmth of her shirt as we would stand there with our mother hen tucking us under her wings, and our hands would warm up. My mother had a gift for being a mother. But I've become so aware that a great parent is not someone who has gifts. A great parent is one who has gifts to give away. This is what we talk about. I believe that we are called from having gifts and called to having gifts that we give away. This is the power. It was in an earlier part of my life that I met a young man who was a sower down on the Rosebud Reservation here in South Dakota. And in the Rosebud Reservation, in the Sioux tradition, there is a ritual. I know it as the keeping of the lock. His grandmother had died, and at the time of her passing, they took and cut a lock of her hair, and then he was given that hair, and he kept that lock of hair for a year. Now, the way that he remembered and celebrated her life was by sewing. He was an amazing man. He lived in a very simple, small house and had a quilting frame. The quilting frame was on pulleys, and every night he would raise that quilt up on its frame up to the ceiling in his living room. And every day he would lower it back down and he would work. He made that year a star quilt, beautiful, amazing star quilt, for every year of his mother's life. And then at the first anniversary of her passing, they did a giveaway. A giveaway in the Sioux tradition is exactly what it sounds like. You come together and you give gifts. And as the community gathered and they brought food and they celebrated his grandmother's life, he gave away every single one of those star quilts, all in her honor. The joy, the deep, deep joy of claiming the memory, the deep, deep joy of releasing the memory and releasing her into God's hands. We are called from having gifts and called to having gifts that we can give away. Come with me into Scripture. And Jesus told this parable. There was once a rich man who had servants, and he went on a long trip. To one of his servants he gave 5 bags of gold. Or talents, or whatever you would like to call it. He gave 5 bags of gold. To another, he gave 2. To another, he gave 1. After a long period of time, he came back, and he called each of the servants to him and said, "What have you done? What you got?" And the one who had been given 5 bags of gold turned to him and said, "Look what I did. I made another 5. I invested them, and here you go." And the boss said, "Great job." He called in the man who had 2. The servant who had 2 said, "Look what I did. I made another 2. Well done, well done." And then came the one who had been given 1. And the one who had been given 1 said, "I know how stingy you are and how tough you are, and I was not going to risk losing it, so I went and buried it. Buried it in the backyard. I dug it up, and here you go, every penny, safe and sound." And the master said, "Seriously? What don't you get? What don't you understand?" Inside of that parable, what was most important was not the gifts. Each of them had the gifts. What was most important was that they had the gifts to give away. Jesus was absolutely serious about the fact that all of us have been given gifts. But we are called then to give those gifts away. Now, in the gospel lesson according to Mark today, Jesus called his disciples. It was fascinating in all 4 gospels to see what is the same and what is different on how Jesus calls the gospel. But here, as he calls the gospel and calls the disciples, he is inviting Andrew and Peter, James, John, eventually Philip, Andrew, Bartholomew, Matthew, all of these. Stop and ask the question, why did Jesus call these particular men? I don't think that it was because they had something to give. These were men who all had individual personalities, they had individual talents, all of that. I think that Jesus was calling them because they had something to give away. For 3 years, those disciples walked with Jesus. They got to know him, they understood his message, and then Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected, and eventually he left, and these disciples were alone. When we look at the calling of the disciples, what we see is the calling of 12 extremely unique men. And beyond that, if we were to go beyond just the 12, now there were dozens more who followed and worked with Jesus. Then there were hundreds beyond that, and eventually there would be thousands. Why? Because they were called not just for the gifts that they had, they were called for the gifts that they had to give away. When we look inside the later parts of the Bible, what we discover are some of the stories of these disciples. What we know is that Philip was called to go down south to Gaza. And there is this amazing story in the book of Acts where he meets an Ethiopian eunuch and baptizes him and begins the church in northern Africa. What we know is that the apostle Andrew was called down into Africa, and there he began communities. We know this in our Christian history. What we know is that the apostle Thomas wound up traveling across the Mediterranean, winding up in India, down far, far, far past the Mediterranean into the Indian Sea, far to the southeast. There, yet today, there is a group of Christians called the Mar Thoma that have their own brand of Christianity that has survived for these 2,000 years. What we know is that Peter was called. Peter did not travel great distances. He stayed within the area of Jerusalem, and he worked to develop the earliest church, and then eventually he ventured out. Not qualified as one of the original disciples, Paul came, and Paul turned the world upside down. Peter and Paul would wind up eventually in Rome and in the mid-60s be executed for their faith. All of these disciples, what was the power that they had? Their power was not that they had something that were gifts. The power was that they had gifts to give away. The whole point was not to keep it to themselves, but to give it to others. Today I am calling you to be looking at the gifts that you have to give. The gifts that you have are not important. The gifts that you have to give away, that is important. Now, what this comes down to is the difference between scarcity and abundance. In our world, it is all too easy for us to adopt the attitude that says, I got to get mine. I have to provide for me. I have to provide for my family. I have to provide for my own little bubble. And everybody else, I'm sorry, there's just not enough to go around. This scarcity is called zero sum. And when you have a zero sum moment, what it means is that there is just so much in the pie. There is just so much wealth, or there is just so much food, or there is just so much work, or there is just so much love, whatever it may be, there's just so much and no more. And so if you get some, that means that I lose some. No, I don't believe in zero sum. When we talk about our lives and our love inside this world, when we talk about the gifts that we have and the gifts that we have to give away, what we are doing is looking at the zero, at not a zero sum, but at abundance mentality. An abundance mentality that said, I'm going to give you 5 bags of gold. What are you going to do? Are you going to invest them or just sit on them and bury them in the backyard? I'm going to give you 2 bags of gold. What are you going to do? Invest them or sit on them and bury them in the backyard? It's not about the amount. It's not about the gift. It's about the gift that we have to give away. Jesus is calling disciples not just 2,000 years ago. Jesus is calling disciples here and now. And each one of those disciples, you, are given the gifts. What are you going to do on them? Are you going to sit on them and bury them in the backyard? Or are you ready to dig them up and put them to work? This is the invitation. What are the gifts that God has given you? Sometimes it's as simple as letting a little one warm their hands with your shirt. Sometimes it's as beautiful as a Sue giveaway and a quilt that has been handmade. Sometimes it's as simple as the ordinary gifts that you have been given, that you choose to use with others. This week, May you see the gifts that you have been given and realize that those gifts are meant to be given away. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to give you thanks for the gifts that we have been given. Teach us not to sit on them, not to hoard them. This is not a zero-sum game. God's world is not a zero-sum game. Lord, instead, teach us to give ourselves away, heart and soul, with all the gifts that we have. In Jesus' name, we ask this. Amen.